The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yo, what's up? This is the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, and we are so excited to talk the Star with you today. The Cowboys are coming off a 20-13 victory over the division rival New York Giants, and they are now the lone leaders in the NFC East. Technically alone, but a three-way tie due to the division win. They are in first place in the NFC East. Before we get started talking the Dallas Cowboys football team, I want to introduce my co-host, Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. And my other co-host is Cole Patterson. You can find him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. What's up, guys?
What's up? I'm ready to talk some Cowboys football.
Of course, man. It was a good week. Dalton, you with us? You doing good today?
Yeah, I'm with us. I'm hanging in there, man. I got a 3-5 page paper I got to write before midnight on Thursday, and I have zero motivation to do anything of the sort. So,
nice. But let's dive right on in. We're gonna go ahead and review these Cowboys victory, this NFC East win over the New York Giants. I think, you know, we talk about the improvements they made from week one to week two. It's hard to ignore those. We did want to get start on the offense and talk about that. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't, you know, excellent. But I think that we could say with confidence that there was a difference between week one at the Panthers and week two with the Giants. You could tell a difference, whether it was the quarterback play, the offensive line play, the play calling, the receivers. I feel like everything improved a little bit. Can it improve more? Yes. But it was a good start, and I wanted to dive right into the offense. Dalton, I'll start off with you first. What are some of the things you liked, what you saw from the offense?
I think we got to start off with that first drive, and more specifically, you know, the script that they had. They came in with a plan. They knew who they were playing. They were well aware that Jackrabbit is kind of a play-to-play guy. He's aggressive. Sometimes he can sit back and play the position the way it's supposed to be played, and sometimes he gets a little bit over aggressive, and when he gets over aggressive, things like that touchdown pass to Tavon Austin happen. So, you know, kind of what happened on this play is he got aggressive. He tried to he tried to get Tavon at the line of scrimmage, and, you know, usually when a wide receiver is going to run a nine route, they're going to use an outside release. Well, Tavon went on the inside and was able to get by Jackrabbit. And when he got by Jackrabbit, because he is so fast, he was able to get downfield quick enough to where the safety wasn't able to get over in time. By the time the ball actually got to its destination, he was passed, and the touchdown was secured. So that was really, really nice. I liked seeing that. I thought that Dak was overall just more comfortable in this game. Felt like the protection, although I didn't personally believe it was all that bad in the first game, I felt like he was pretty uncomfortable in the pocket and held the ball too long the week before. I felt he was more comfortable, and the line did still play better. Ezekiel Elliott looked a little bit better. We'll talk about a play in a little bit here where he probably could have busted a 50-plus yard run. This was down towards their own goal line. But I wanted to talk. There was a highly contested conversation that I had with Connor and Patrick Kahn, who is, you know, a big part of Cowboys Twitter as well, about a deep ball that Dak threw to one Deontay Thompson. The corner was over the top, and Beasley was running. I don't even know what the route was. It looked like it was a corner post, but it was like a 10-yard corner post, just kind of getting behind the linebackers. And then Hearns was running a Connor, help me out here, a drag over the middle.
It looked like a shallow crosser, yeah.
Yeah, it was a crosser. It was a drag route across the center of the field. And Dak kind of looked right to where Deontay Thompson was to start, and then looked like he was looking off the safety, came back around to the middle, and we had Hearns wide open on the crosser. I don't know if he saw him or not. That's not what the argument was about. The argument was about the deep ball itself. I was one of the people that was critical of Dak Prescott, and have been critical of Dak Prescott for not taking enough chances down the field. I thought that this was a bad play, and he took a shot downfield. Now, it wasn't a bad play because of the downfield shot. I believe that it was a downfield, it was a bad play because the cornerback was over the top of Deontay Thompson the entire time. The ball was thrown like it was to be thrown over the shoulder of Deontay Thompson to hit him in stride, but the corner was in front. Now, luckily, the ball was far enough out in front and out of bounds to where it couldn't end up being an interception or a batted ball. But I was upset because the best case scenario there is an incompletion. Now, I don't know if he was actually trying to complete a pass there or if he was just chucking it out of bounds in the direction. Either way, I didn't like that shot downfield. Now, the very next play was very, very nice.
I think what you said before you finished there kind of answered my part of the argument and maybe your question. You started it off talking about the script, and if I had to guess, I would just guess that play might have been part of that script. And obviously in that script, you still got to go through your reads, and if the guy's not open, you want to go somewhere else with the ball. But I could see where that was one of those scripted plays where, you know, we're going to – I can't remember if it was play action or not, but we're going to drop back. We're going to send the guy who runs these 4-3, 40s straight down the field, 9 route, and we're just going to chuck it up there and hope he beats his man. And obviously he didn't, and I'm with you there as far as it wasn't a good throw. He shouldn't have thrown there, but I just wonder if that was a part of that offensive script. And, yeah, he should have threw the ball to Hearns because he probably had 15 to 20 yards there that he could have broke it down on. But again, it's just we'll never know, and that's why I wish we did have access to the coaches and the players like the Dallas media does, because I'd love to ask that question right there. Was that deep ball to Thompson a scripted play? And obviously that's not something they're going to let you know of, but you can kind of get a feeling. So I wonder if it was.
Well, I'm trying to remember what part of the game was that.
It was the third. It was like the second play of the third series.
Second play of the third series.
Yeah, because they drove down the second series. They kicked the field goal. They had 3 plays in the first series, so they didn't get a lot of those plays in. They had, I want to say it was 6 plays in the second series that kicked the field goal, and then that was the second play of the third series. So that's my only answer there to that, is maybe that was a scripted play, and then maybe the next play was also a scripted play, sending Gallup on almost the same route, same side of the field. But who knows? And that's something that we'd have to get to the coaches to figure out, unfortunately. And but I'm with you. Again, we talked about it last night. Like, I didn't think it was like a good throw or a good decision, but I just wasn't gonna knock him for it because one, I thought it could have been a scripted play, and then two, we've been talking about wanting to see the deep ball, so I can't really knock him for it. But I'm with you. It wasn't a good ball or a good, you know, decision. But
yeah, but like I said, the next play was very nice, and actually Dak threw a good ball. It was a little bit on the outside shoulder of Michael Gallup, who couldn't bring it down. But those are the kind of downfield shots that you want to see. Yeah. You want to see the ones like the one to Tavon Austin. The bad is the one slant route that he threw right into the hands of the lineman or the linebacker. I don't know who. Do you remember who the linebacker was? I can't remember.
It was Ogletree.
It was Ogletree. So he threw it into Ogletree, and it's a good thing that it went to Ogletree because it probably would have been an interception otherwise because the cornerback was jumping the route.
Yeah, yeah. So Cole, what did you see that you liked? I know you're you know, a big supporter of Dak Prescott, you know, like I am. Did you think he played better against the Giants? I mean, obviously, it's hard to say he didn't play better, but did you see some things you liked from week one to week two?
Yeah, like you said, it's really hard to not play better than what he did in week one. Yeah, I just liked how he set the tone on the first drive, how he was able, he was willing to take the deep shot. I mean, I'm sure it was a scripted play and everything, but for him to be comfortable in that pocket, throw a deep ball on hitting Tavon in stride was really nice to see. And even more than that, he just seemed to be more comfortable in, throughout the game. He didn't put up gaudy numbers or anything. He didn't throw for 300 yards, 400 yards, 5 touchdowns or anything like that. But it was nice to see him let the game come to him, not try to force things too much. He did take some – he did try to take some deep shots that maybe he would have been better off checking down or look, going through his progressions. But I really liked that. I also liked how – I liked the play calling. I liked how Linehan opened – it looked like they opened the playbook just a little bit more. They let Dak use his legs. I tweeted throughout the game that this is the offense I've been wanting them to see. We kind of mentioned it last week, last Thursday – or yeah, it was last Thursday recapping the game, how – it would be nice to see them run an offense that uses Dak's legs, which is obviously one of his strengths. I saw Bob Sturm wrote an article kind of referencing that. Mm-hmm. And I just liked I mean, it keeps the defense honest. It doesn't let them send 9-10 guys at Zeke. It makes them account for the quarterback, which, yeah, you don't want your quarterback vulnerable to getting hurt or anything. But I feel like Dak's, I mean, he's big. He's not your typical quarterback. And he can make things happen when he gets into space. We saw that time and time again, and I like to see more of that moving forward.
Yeah, I found an interesting stat on Dak Prescott running the football today from Brandon George of the Dallas Morning News. He tweeted out earlier today, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is now 9-2 when he's rushed the ball at least 5 times in a game. He's now 4-0 when he's rushing at least 7 times. To me, whether you, I mean, again, you just look at that stat and you go, we're a winning football team when the quarterback gets involved in the running game.
Exactly.
And it's hard. And what was that? What were you going to say?
And what makes it so impressive is he is so comfortable in that when they're running those zone reads, he made one bad read yesterday, but even when he made that bad read, he was able to make the defensive end miss and then get
that was really impressive.
From the inside. It was, and you don't want to see your quarterback necessarily go into the middle of the field like that, you know, among the big boys. But I like that, and I liked earlier in the week or after the game, he talked. He said, when I ran to the outside, he goes, I wanted to send a message to the corners. He said, you know, I wanted them to make, you know, I wanted them to feel me hit them. And you don't want that out of your quarterback, even if he is 40 pounds heavier. But you got to like that kind of attitude. He heard what Landon Collins said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
he laid that stiff arm on him, too.
He brings, you know, we can sit back, you know, watch the tape and question some of the decisions he's makes, some of his ability on the field making some of those throws, but not a soul can question his competitive attitude that he brings to the game, because that's, you know, game in, when he has a bad game, it seems like he always comes back and responds. You know, when people, obviously, the Landon Collins was the big thing going into last week. You know, he said, mm-hmm. we're going to put the ball in Dak Prescott's hand, and that's how we feel like we can win. Well, the stat I came away with from the first 2 weeks of the season is the Cowboys have had 3 scoring drives when they scored touchdowns on those drives this season. Obviously, the read option to Zeke in week 1, the touchdown to Tavon Austin in week 2, and then the Zeke run in week 2. In those drives, Dak Prescott either threw or run 18 times, and Zeke only had 11 runs in those. So Zeke, you know, I look at that as Dak Prescott outtouched Ezekiel Elliott 18-11 in those 3 scoring drives. So while it's true, yes, obviously any defense wants to account for Ezekiel Elliott because he was the 4th overall pick. He is the playmaker on that offense. Putting the ball in Dak's hands has actually worked a little bit more than when they do kind of go heavy run, and that's because teams are loaded up for it. They're expecting it. They're defending that, so they should stop that.
It just opens so many things up.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's obviously, it almost sounds like I'm saying, you know, Dak's carrying the offense, and that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that Dak running those read options, that opens things up for Zeke. Dak hitting mm-hmm. those deep balls, taking those deep shots, it opens things up for Zeke. It opens up for those post routes, because the cornerbacks have to either take a step off, or they can't be so aggressive, you know, when playing the middle of the field. They have to account for, okay, this guy could go over the top, and they're going to throw it over the top. And that's important, because when you got guys like Tavon Austin, Deontay Thompson, who can run the deep routes but who have also been good running those intermediate routes, it gives them that little bit of separation. And, you know, that was the big thing I saw, is they were taking the deep shots. You know, they connected on one, probably should have connected on another. And then they kind of got the intermediate stuff to deep intermediate stuff going later in the game with the comeback to Tavon Austin. Cole Beasley also caught a pretty deep comeback.
Yeah, I want to talk about that comeback just real, real quick, because there was a ton of nuance in that route, and it's something that I saw a little bit in the preseason from Tavon Austin. I never knew him to be much of a route runner, but there was a nice little double shuffle stutter to the outside to get, you know, to gain the outside release against BW Webb, and then he shuffled real quick. Webb stuck with him the entire time, and then at the stem of the route, he brings his head up and to the left as if he's expecting the ball over that side, and then he plants hard, sinks his hips really well, and then goes towards the sideline. I mean, it was a great route. I mean, it's something that really caught my eye from yesterday.
And I don't want to blow this out of proportion by any means, but I sent it to you earlier, Dalton. You know, we talk about Dak's lack of anticipation throwing the football, and I actually saw a little bit of anticipation on that route, because he did start to wind up and throw while Tavon was still at the top of his route, and then by the time the ball was released, Tavon was turned for it. But just, you know, baby steps with him. You know, we're not going to see him make those Aaron Rodgers type of throws.
Yeah, the ball wasn't great. The ball should have been more towards the sideline. But it, you know, it's one of those things. He's not going to be that pinpoint guy when it comes to those intermediate routes. It's just, that's not his game.
Yeah.
I think he's actually better when he goes deeper.
Yeah, I agree, and that's all kind of a misconception by a lot of Cowboys fans who think he can't throw the deep ball, but he's good underneath. I almost think the opposite.
You noticed that I don't know this for sure, but I think in all of their touchdown drives, Tavon has seen the field.
Yeah,
that makes sense, right? Like, he's on the field and they score touchdowns.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. That's a good point. We got a few minutes here before break. The play calling those first 3 or 4 series was so much better. And we could argue that it was scripted, that they had been game planning for that, but there's no argument that it looked like a completely different coordinator, a completely different offense on the field. And I think that's because they were in favorable down and distances. We saw the RPOs. We saw the Tavon Austin involvement. Cole, what did you think? You know, did you think that it was all scripted, or did you think it was coming out of the playbook? What did you think of the play calling those first few drives?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously the beginning was scripted. But I think I want to think that they're putting more and more of this stuff into the playbook. We saw a little bit of it in the fourth quarter, I guess, against the Panthers when we saw the speed option and stuff. So, I mean, I want to think they're putting more RPOs, more things in for Tavon Austin. I mean, that was one of the point of emphasis about Tavon when they brought him in, that they want to get the ball into his hands. I mean, what was that quote from Steven? How they wanted to get the ball, was it 20 times? How many times was it? I'm not sure it's ever going to get that high, but I mean, I would like to see them get the ball. And I mean, him and Zeke are probably the two more electrifying playmakers on this team. So, I mean, like Dalton said, he's been on the field when they score a touchdown. So it seems like a recipe for success.
And how cool was it that both Zeke and Tavon touched the ball on the same play and the result was like 20-some yards, 19 yards, something like that? Just
yeah, that was pretty wild. And they also ran they put Austin in a jet motion and then ran what it looked like a read option with Austin.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it actually was a read option, but then they ended up shuffling it to Zeke.
Nifty.
And if they do add that option to read the defensive end, and if he stays flat-footed, hand that off to Austin, there's no way that Austin at full speed isn't going to get to the outside against a defensive end.
I totally agree. I really hope they keep that in the playbook and add more things like that, add more wrinkles.
Agreed.
We spent the first 20 minutes talking about the offense. We're going to break, come back, and then talk about this dominant defense performance from the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be right back after a quick break. And we're back on Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. I'm here with my co-host, Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. And my other co-host, Cole Patterson. You can find him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. We highlighted the offensive performance from the Dallas Cowboys against the Giants in their 20-13 victory as they took lead of the NFC East. And now we're going to talk about the Hot Boys, the secondary, the linebackers, the Rod Marinelli, Chris Richard-led defense that has been playing phenomenal football right now. 2 weeks in a row, they have been excellent. You look at the defensive line, I think it starts in the front. You can talk about DeMarcus Lawrence's dominance. You can talk about Taco Charlton's level of play. You can talk about Antoine Woods, Tyron Crawford, whoever you want to start with on that defensive line. It kind of all starts up front, but I think the main what I would consider the MVPs of the defense through 2 weeks has been that secondary. Those two, let me say three starters in the secondary, Chidobe Awuzie, Byron Jones, and Anthony Brown. Dalton, just kind of starting with you here, how good have those guys been playing? And is it just crazy to think that the Cowboys have three Pro Bowl caliber corners on their team right now?
No, I don't think it's crazy to think that. Now, are there three guys that are going to make the Pro Bowl on this team? Obviously not, because there are some great corners out there in the NFC. But I think that the way that they're playing right now, there's three Pro Bowl caliber guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we didn't see that. I didn't expect this from Anthony Brown. I mean, Anthony Brown got toasted a couple times in the preseason.
Yeah,
and he was great his rookie year. So you understand where it's coming from. I mean, you've seen his talent before. You know he's one of the, three fastest guys on the team. And that showed on that wheel route that he hugged yesterday, or on Sunday. But to imagine that they would be this good already, that in his second year, Chidobe would be this good, and going back and having Byron play this position for the first time in 6 years, to have him be that good, nobody is beating him deep. He literally just face guarded dudes all the way down the field and then turned his head at the last second, but he had already pushed him so far towards the sideline that it didn't even matter.
Yeah, and before we get away from Anthony Brown, I did want to pull up another interesting stat that my buddy John Williams tweeted out today.
I would thank you because I was looking for it on his profile.
You can follow John on Twitter at John Nye Williams. He writes for Inside the Star, does a lot of Cowboy stuff on Twitter. The stat is cornerback Anthony Brown has been the best slot corner in the NFL in 2018. Of 57 snaps in the slot, he's only been targeted 5 times, allowing 3 receptions for only 12 yards. Nobody has a higher coverage snap per reception rate than his 19 in the NFL per PFF.
Wow.
That's huge. I mean, just that level of play, no one expected it. You know, we've all been wanting to see Jordan Lewis play. Maybe I'm, you know, speaking out of turn, but personally, third round pick a year ago who played good in his rookie year, you kind of wanted to see him start, and Anthony Brown has held him off from starting. That's the only way to put it.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's been great. So I wanted to bring up another, you know, kind of weird stat. That strip sack that Damian Wilson had on Sunday was the second quickest sack of the season. Miles Garrett has the fastest sack at 1.97 seconds. That was in week one. Damian Wilson timed up that blitz amazingly, and his sack only took 2.04 seconds.
Jeez.
That's awesome.
That was
he almost
sweet.
Had an interception to go along with it, too.
Yep. He had the he almost had the interception when he was guarding, OBJ. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Eli was doing throwing that football, because the corner, I think it was Byron, was on that side as well, and he came up on it. So, because Byron got shook up on that play. But just an amazing game by the defense. The linebackers, especially Jalen Smith, looks good. He had that late hit on Saquon that wasn't called, but he's flying all over the field. And then obviously the defensive line with all the sacks. I mean, This defense looks good, and I think that we'll get to talking about it a little bit more a little bit later, but they are extremely impressive right now.
The thing that's standing out to me a lot is, yeah, the defensive line is pressuring the quarterback, they're getting after the quarterback, but it's really been the blitz concepts and the blitz packages that are getting the pressure. It's, you know, you look at the Kayvon Frazier sack, the Damian Wilson sack, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, Antoine Woods, all those sacks are happening. A lot of them are coming from the blitz formations that they're throwing at them, and that's the Chris Richard effect. And it's, you know, it's things like that is what they brought him in to do. It's they brought him in to put some creativity in this defense, and you're seeing it. You're seeing more exotic blitzes from this defense than we've ever seen, and it's very interesting and exciting to watch. It's starting in week two. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like down the road.
I totally agree, and that's without David Irving and some more pieces that can make this defense even better.
Yeah, no question about it. It's you look at David Irving's on the way back. Randy Gregory's on the way back. Xavier Woods is on the way back. Dayton Jones is on the way back. This defense is only going to get better, and that's
just... Can we talk about Xavier Woods real quick? Because, man, Kayvon Frazier has played really well. Is Woods going to come back and start, or are they just going to do a big rotation like they have in the past?
I was thinking maybe they go and play more dime with Xavier Woods on the field, you know, playing some nickel, playing some, you know, cover three with three safeties. But I agree, you know, I just – you almost have to give Xavier Woods' job back due to the way you handled the safety position in the offseason, because you told us that, you know, Tyrann Mathieu didn't fit. You told us Trey Boston didn't fit. You told us Kenny Vaccaro didn't fit. But Kayvon Frazier's not a free safety, and that's – somewhat of what, you know, they like their safeties to play either strong or free, but you almost have to give Xavier Woods his job back because of the way you talked about the scheme fit this offseason. But at the same time, Frazier's been playing excellent. You know, he wasn't great tackling on Sunday night, but he had the sack. He had, you know, good plays in coverage.
Yeah, I want to talk about that real quick. There's a lot of people out there that have talked about the tackling. And in week one, understandable, they were rusty. What happened this week is they got into space with an alien. And that alien is a 230-pound tree trunk leg Saquon Barkley that moves like a 180-pound scat back. So, yes, he is going to shake people. That's just the way it is. Other than that, their tackling was fine. Now, Frazier did miss one on OBJ. He just took a bad angle. But it's not like guys are just falling off of them. It's just Saquon. It's just you're not going to tackle him on the first attempt over half of the time.
And I'm only going to say this because I know you're a huge Saquon Barkley fan, but I don't think aliens get 2.5 yards per carry, but that's just me. Cole, what'd you think of the secondary, man? What'd you, Kayvon Frazier, Dalton brought up Xavier Woods. What do you think's going to happen when Woods gets back?
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you. I feel like they are almost inclined to give Woods his job back, but Frazier isn't going to make it easy. He's been playing very well. We see him blitzing. We see him tackling in space. But like you said, I mean, Woods, and he's, I feel like he's the guy back there. I feel like he fits Rashard's scheme. I feel like he fits what they want to do. We knew they wanted him in the draft 2017. They wanted him, I guess, day three or third round, fourth round. So when he fell to the sixth round, it was pretty shocking that he fell into their laps. He had a strong rookie season. Really, all three of the DBs they drafted in that draft class all had strong rookie seasons, and we're seeing it carry over to this year. Talking about the other DBs, Awuzie, he's been really impressive. I think he might have the highest ceiling in his entire secondary. I feel like he is a perfect fit for Rashard. I feel like he is only going to get better as he gets more experience. So I'm really excited to see that. And Byron, I mean, some people thought he would be better at safety, but he's been playing well. He's lengthy. He's long. We know how athletic he is. I've just been very impressed. And they defended Odell pretty well. They defended the entire Giants receivers pretty well. I mean, some of that does have to do with the defensive line, with the blitzing, with Eli being under pressure. But I was very impressed with how they played really all game up until the garbage time, up until it was over. So I'm excited to see them grow under Rashard.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, we talked about Xavier Woods. We did get some new, some pretty good news from Jerry Jones today when he was on with 105.3 The Fan earlier today, as he is every Tuesday at 8:30 Central Time in the morning. He did say that he anticipates Xavier Woods practicing this week, and hopefully he'll be available to play this weekend along with Randy Gregory. He hopes Gregory gets back to practice. It sounds like he already cleared the concussion protocol, but they didn't feel comfortable enough having him active on game day. So it sounds like Gregory and Woods could be back this week for the Seahawks game.
That's huge.
It's very big. But let's we're gonna get into some more player news. The Cowboys made a few roster transactions today. They signed familiar face and Bryce Butler, which a couple months ago, I feel like if you would have asked me what are the odds that Bryce Butler's back on this team, I would have laughed in your face. But Bryce Butler's back. In the move to bring Bryce Butler on, they did release Tyree Robinson, the rookie safety who had flashed some in training camp and preseason. So Bryce Butler's back. He's the seventh wide receiver on this roster, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be any release from the receiver room to make room for Bryce Butler. So he's back, and I was shocked. What do you guys think of that move? I'll start it off with Dalton. What did you think when you heard that Bryce Butler was back in Dallas?
Oh, man. I put my thoughts on Twitter. It's just a friend's GIF thread. A lot of confusion when I first heard it. And I'm still kind of confused. Why? I mean, I guess because Dak Prescott has a good rapport with him. I mean, that's my only guess. My only guess is that, you know, Dak has heard that we want him to throw it deep, and guess who caught deep passes last year?
He did.
Bryce Butler. But guess what? Bryce Butler is lost on the other 75% of the snaps. Half the deep passes he doesn't even catch. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what he brings that others don't. Like, yeah, sure, he's tall and fast. That's it. We have fast guys. We don't have a tall, fast guy. But is he, like, the Cardinals couldn't use him.
They're the Cardinals. They're the worst offensive team in the league.
The Cardinals can't score points. They're worse than the Bills. And they could him. But we can use him. So, I mean, my thought is it's a whole big conspiracy and that Terrence Williams is about to be suspended. If that's not what it is, I'm at a total loss. No clue. This makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Cole, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm kind of going along with Dalton. I mean, I was kind of surprised. I honestly thought it was just a joke when I first read about that. I mean, I did not believe that at all. I mean, everything that happened this offseason, I mean, that's the last thing I would have guessed would have happened. But like Dalton said, I mean, really the only thing that makes sense is a potential Terrence Williams suspension and his connection with Dak. I mean, Butler is not going to be a number one wide receiver. You can't count on him to make play after play. But I mean, him and Dak do have some kind of connection, which is what you want with a young quarterback. Looking at his stats last year, he only caught 23 passes, or he only was targeted 23 times, and he caught 15 passes, so it can be kind of skewed. But he did average over 20 yards per reception, which is pretty impressive, which is kind of what you want to see in this offense. You want to see us stretch defenses out so you can see Zeke get some holes to run through. I mean, even if it's just a deep shot, it doesn't connect. At least that defense has to pay a little bit of attention to it. So I like that. But yeah, this is kind of a confusing move, especially if Williamson does not get cut or suspended or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, the only other thing I had that could have been, you know, a reason for it is maybe they said when we get down in the red zone, you know, our main weapons, Cole Beasley, they take him out of the red zone. You know, then you got Tavon Austin. He's kind of a small body in a crowded zone. That's not great. You think they would turn to guys like, you know, Gallup and Hearns, who kind of are physical at the catch point and kind of can go up and get it. But maybe they said they don't have the size that we like, so let's go get this tall guy who maybe can go up and catch those, you know, fades. But I hope they don't bring that back, because there's nothing less exciting than a goal line fade, because I feel like one out of every 12 work. And again, they threw one to Cole Beasley over the weekend, and it was almost picked off because it was, you know, that's not where he's going to win. He's not going to win on a fade. He's going to win with his route running. So
exactly.
That's the only thing I got. But the other transaction, they did add Ohio State defensive tackle Adolphus Washington to the practice squad. He was a third round pick in 2016 out of Ohio State, the 80th overall pick. He was a, you know, what I would consider a penetrating, you know, three technique, 6'3", 301 pounds. They acted like he has lost a little bit of weight, but he you know, he's agile, he's athletic, he's very quick off the snap. Just kind of reading some of the things from his scouting report. I haven't watched him a ton in Buffalo. I plan on doing that and getting a scouting report up on Blogging the Boys soon. But, you know, he's a guy that, he's on the practice squad. You might keep him around to see, you know, what happens with David Irving, what happens with some of these guys. You know, Malik Collins is a little banged up apparently, so he might be a guy that you're adding to the practice squad just in case. He's your backup plan. So in the move to sign Adolphus Washington, the team released a player from the practice squad. I have no idea. Azizu Shitu is, I think, how you pronounce his name.
It is Aziz Shitu.
Yeah, there you go. No idea. Haven't watched him. But yeah, you know, I think I liked Washington coming out of the draft. He was very athletic. He was explosive. I don't have my draft grades from 2016 in front of me, but you know, third round pick, top 100 pick. You know how much the Cowboys like to add those guys to their team, and
he must have had good production in college because his tape must have been good because his web is not real good. His mock draftable web.
Yeah,
there's a lot of under. Everything is under the 50th percentile, yeah, except for arm length.
He was good at Ohio State. I remember liking him coming out.
I have his stats pulled up actually right now.
Yeah, I think he started a bunch of games. He's got a couple sacks, but I'll let you read those off.
Yeah, for his career at Ohio State, which is obviously a big-name program, I mean, he has 142 total tackles over four different seasons. He has 25 tackles for a loss, 13 and a half sacks, and interception has returned 20 yards for a touchdown. He forced 3 fumbles and recovered 1. So, I mean, he even defended 4 passes. So, I mean, he had some talent at Ohio State, obviously. So,
yeah.
Let's hope
he's worth taking a chance, though.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for the practice squad. You know, it's not taking up a roster spot. You know, you feel like top 100 pick didn't work out. Let's bring him in, see if we can coach him up and get him on the field.
There's really not much to lose.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And those top 100 picks, teams love them. Somebody spent a top 100 pick on them for a reason, so they try to get the most out of them. But we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to get to some of our fan questions in the last and final segment of Talking the Star podcast that is a member of the Blogging the Boys and Vox Media Podcast Network. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. Here with my co-host, Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. And Cole Patterson, you can find him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. We just have a few minutes left with you today to talk about your Dallas Cowboys. And we got some questions from some fans today that we got through on Twitter. At the end of these segments on Wednesday, we are going to get some fan questions, answer them, you know, to eat up a few minutes and see what the fans want to hear us talk about and get some answers. I want to thank Cole and Dalton, you know, spending their time with me today. I want to thank Blogging the Boys for joining forces with the Talk of the Star podcast just a week ago. And we are part of the Blogging the Boys Network and the Vox Media platform. We're so excited to join forces with those guys and get this thing kicked off. So let's get to these questions. We'll each have an answer for the question, but our first question is from Tyler Browning at Diabetic Tyler. What does Bryce Butler bring to the table now that he didn't last year? And that's a good question, kind of going off what we just finished talking about. I'll start it off. I don't think that he brings anything now that he didn't bring last year. I think that maybe his skill set might fit in a little bit better, but I'd even argue that that's not true because you have Deontay Thompson that has his skill set. So I'll say that what he brings this year that he didn't bring last year to the table is his size, because the team lacks that long, tall receiver. But I'll pass it off to Cole first. What do you think? Does he bring anything new to the table?
I really don't see it. I mean, like you said, the only thing different, I guess, is his size. I mean, but even still, I mean, you have Allen Hurns, who's a big body. I guess he's not as fast as Butler, but I mean, you know what you're getting in Bryce Butler. You're not going to get a guy that's going to be a huge touchdown threat. You're not going to get a guy that's going to be a reliable receiver on third and long, or a guy that's going to get you out of bad situations. But with that said, I mean, it's no secret that we want Dak to go deep, that we want this offense to spread defenses out. So, I mean, that's really the thing that I think he has value in. How much value, that's really yet to be determined on this team. Yeah, exactly.
Dalton, what do you think? Does he bring anything new to the table?
I mean, just size and speed, man. And I don't really know what else to say. I mean, He has rapport with Dak, which is something that only Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams have. And Terrence Williams isn't really seeing the field unless he's motioning in 12 personnel to block on a run play.
That's
all I've seen him do.
Yep, that's true. All right, the last and final question before we run out of time here is from Corn Cub of the Highest Order. You can find him on Twitter at High Plains Moron. His question was about a guy that the Cowboys are going to play against this weekend. Provided Dallas wins, do either of you guys see any deal for Earl Thomas after their game, or has that ship sailed?
I don't see it.
Dalton?
I'm going to talk about this. I could go on this for about 15 minutes, but what I will say is I think that we have all the leverage at that point because they are going to be 0-3. Going to lose him at the end of the year no matter what. Why not take a third-round pick right now from us? Because at the end of the year, when they lose him, they're going to get a conditional pick, which will probably end up being a third-round pick, which will be further back than where our third-round pick would be, and it wouldn't be until 2020 and not 2019. You're going to lose him. Give him up.
Yeah, I agree with
will
you,
they?
Dog.
I don't think so, but
yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think, would love to move. But
I think, like Dalton said, if there was a time to do it, them being 0-3 would be the time to do it. There's no way, you know, especially if the Rams go, you know, up 3-0, there's no way that they're coming out of that hole. They haven't even, you know, played the Rams yet. They haven't played anyone in their division yet. At that point, you're almost looking at it and going, this season's lost. Well, it's crazy to say that in the first month of the season, but when you got a team like the Rams in your division and the way your offensive line is, the way the rest of your offense is, there's just little hope there. And maybe they will say, it's time to draft. It's time to rebuild. Let's get the pick. Let's move on. We'd rather get something than nothing. And that was a good question because we haven't talked about Earl Thomas in a while. But that's all the time we have today. Thank you guys for joining us on the Talking the Star podcast. Thanks, Blogging the Boys. Thanks, Vox Media and SB Nation for hosting the podcast. Thanks, Dalton Miller. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. Thanks, Cole Patterson. You can find him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. And I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at Connor NFL Draft. We're Talking the Star, and we'll see you guys next time.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast. Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.